Off the ball. Rugby.
I think Prendergast is going to be the 10 in the World Cup in 27. I think his ceiling is higher. I think he's got more natural ability than Crowley.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Tuesday's Rugby Daily. I'm Richie McCormack. On the way, drastic times result in drastic measures as Wales part ways with head coach Warren Gatland midway through the Six Nations. Roman Entomac is cleared to play against Ireland, and we hear from the Connacht camp out of the resumption of the URC. Rugby Daily and Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First today, a 14-match losing streak has proved one too many for the WRU, who have parted company with their head coach, Warren Gatland. The Kiwi becomes the first coach to lose a head coach's job midway through a Six Nations since Mike Ruddock also left the Wales job back in 2006. Gatland leaves without a payoff, according to WRU CEO today, Abby Tierney. He's previously led Wales to three Grand Slams and the top of the world rankings in his first stint. That was between 2007 and 2019. In his first year back in the job, only a win in Rome prevented Wales from taking the Six Nations wooden spoon, but they'd only win five more times before embarking on that 14-game losing streak, which commenced in the World Cup quarterfinals of 2023. In a statement, WRU Chief Executive Abby Tierney says they've agreed to making this change now in the best interests of the Wales squad as it continues to compete in the 2025 Six Nations. So, ahead of Ireland's visit to Cardiff on Saturday week, it's Cardiff head coach Matt Sherratt who's been appointed interim Wales boss for the remainder of the Six Nations. Sherratt took over at the Arms Park in the summer of 2023 and led them to a 12th place finish in the URC. They're currently fifth and have beaten Ulster so far this season. Despite just a single group win at home to the Cheetahs in December, they did qualify for the last 16 of the Challenge Cup, where they'll be away to Connacht. In Sherratt's place will be his assistant coaches, Cornel Van Zyl, Gethin Jenkins, Scott Andrews and Johnny Goodridge. But he'll still be overseeing this weekend's fixture with Connacht in the URC. And Sherratt insists he does not want the Wales job long term.
Sat on the sofa last night at 8 o'clock and Hugh's name came up on my phone, and I can't repeat what I said when he phoned me at that time. But I've known since 8 o'clock last night, well, I've got offered it at 8 o'clock last night. I've been in sport long enough to know that it's pretty bumpy, and you're never going to be offered an opportunity when things are going well. So it's not something that I expected to happen, but I'll be honest, as soon as I got the phone call, I was looking at it as a player. My background in coaching has been as primary school teacher, community rugby coach, academy coach, senior coach, to have the opportunity to be head coach of a fantastic rugby nation, a group of players that I know pretty well, a staff that I know pretty well, is something that I could never turn down. So it was a surprise, yeah. And there's always, obviously, a harder side to that with the likes of a class coach like Warren departing Welsh rugby. But yeah, it's something that, it means a massive amount to me. I know, it will be to the end of the Six Nations. I've signed a contract with Cardiff. Cardiff's my first head coach job. So, listen, there'll probably be a couple of mistakes along the way I'm learning. But it's not something that I'd be putting my name forward for. I'd like to do it for the rest of the Six Nations, help the squad, do my best for Welsh rugby, and then I'll be back to Cardiff to try and turn that around there.
So longer term, Wales are reportedly keen on making interim Ireland head coach Simon Easterby, or former Italy and current Glasgow head coach Franco Smith, their new man in charge. Easterby, of course, has roots in Wales, having captained the Scarlets for five of his seven seasons there, where he also began his coaching career. The Irish Mirror indeed claimed that should Easterby get the Wales job, he could be joined by Leinster's scrum coach and Wales native, of course, Robin McBride. CEO Abby Tierney insists the funds are there to secure the ideal head coach for Wales.
Yep, the money is there and it's in our financial plan to do that, so we won't be choosing somebody based on their costs from that perspective. In terms of characteristics, it was quite interesting when we Matt was the obvious choice for the interim coach. I think, you know, what we're doing with the regions now, somebody who's a natural collaborator, somebody who can work kind of across the ecosystem, is going to be really important, because I think that's one of the things that we haven't been able to do as successfully as we should have been able to do in the past. So that's one of the key characteristics, somebody you can lift a young team and give them that confidence is also going to be really important. You know, somebody who's got experience of winning will be really important. So there's a number of different things that we're looking at in terms of the criteria that will drive that decision.
And on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, the BBC's Chris Jones assessed the case for Easterby as Wales head coach.
The floating kind of gun for hire, as he would be come the summer, because he's leaving Leicester, as Michael Checker. You know, after the win on the weekend, you know, Steve Borthwick is well secure in his role. I think if England had lost to France and then gone to Scotland, a chance of being 0-3, then there would have been a lot of chatter. It's a guy, Quinn's Danny Wilson, who's coached, I think, across all four regions and is, you know, well respected, but has no experience at this level. Is there any guarantee? The question is, do they get in someone like Gatland was in 08, someone who's overseas, experienced, can come in and sort of ruffle some feathers? Or do they go, no, we need someone who is going to work incredibly closely with the regions, incredibly closely with the age grades, would be comfortable working with a director of rugby?
One name being linked on Wales Online this morning is Simon Easterby. Obviously, has strong Welsh connections. I suspect leaving would be very difficult for him. But is that the type of candidate that might actually galvanise Welsh rugby?
I got a whisper of Easterby a few months ago that he would be someone in the frame. Andy Farrell can't influence what's happening in games, and Simon Easterby's playing a blinder with his replacements and how he's tinkering the team and how he's setting them up. So his reputation enhanced over the last couple of weeks. He's obviously got a Welsh family. He would certainly fit the bill as someone who knows the Welsh game and has got super experience at the top level. So where the jigsaw pieces all go with this sort of the coaching picture, watch this space, I think.
You can hear a lot more from that chat with Chris Jones and indeed Brian O'Driscoll, who's on this evening's Off the Ball, by becoming an Off the Ball member now. Performances in the Celtic Challenge have seen 8 uncapped players force their way into the Ireland squad for the upcoming Women's Six Nations. Among them are UL Bohemians back row and son of men's team legend Peter, Jane Clohessy. However, last year's co-captain Sam Monaghan is out through injury. Clohessy recently scored a first half hat-trick of tries while playing for the Clovers against the Brython Thunder. She's joined by clubmate and another forward, Beth Buttermer. Prop Sophie Barrett, also among the tries for the Clovers recently, is another to earn a call-up, as is former Ireland under-20 captain Jane Neal. Balbriggan's second row, Alma Atagaman, is the other uncapped forward in Scott Beaman's squad. In the backs, Munster's 18-year-old Katrina Finn is called up, as is Railway Union and Leinster winger Katie Heffernan and her Wolfhounds teammate Amy Lern. Ireland's first fixture is against France at Belfast's Kingspan Stadium on March 22nd, and the other home match this year comes against England, and that's at Virgin Media Park. As expected, Romain Entemac has been cleared to play Ireland in the Six Nations on March the 8th. The France out half was given a 20-minute red card following a high challenge on Wales out half Ben Thomas during the opening fixture of the Six Nations. Entemac was banned for last week's defeat at Twickenham, and it had been hoped that Toulouse's top 14 fixture away to Clermont this Sunday would count towards his suspension, which would clear him to play against Italy the following week. That request was denied, as a hearing yesterday determined that he was unlikely to be released from the France squad in the regular scheme of things. So Entemac will miss Sunday week's trip to Rome, but he will be back when France rock up to Dublin less than a fortnight later. 6 players have been released from the Ireland camp and made available for Connacht's URC game with Cardiff on Saturday. Jack Ainger, Quaylen Blade, Shane Bolton, Cathal Ford, Ben Murphy and captain Cian Prendergast will all boost Pete Wilkins' ranks. The Six Nations break has also helped ease Connacht's injury worries, with Hugh Gavin, Andrew Smith, Shane Jennings, Dennis Buckley and Dara Murray all back in the mix. But back rower Sean O'Brien is out for 3 months, having undergone hamstring surgery, and hooker Owen de Butler is out for an undetermined amount of time due to a fractured thumb suffered while on AIL duty. Connacht go into Saturday's game off the back of 4 consecutive defeats in the URC. Head coach Pete Wilkins was asked today how it went so wrong for them in their last outing, which was against Glasgow.
It was a disappointing result. Missed opportunities was the headline for me in terms of reviewing it. We had 5 turnovers we conceded in the attacking 22 in the first half. I think 4 of those were in the first 15 or 16 minutes. We conceded another 2 in the attacking 22 in the second half, both from Mauls, where we dropped the ball, having, you know, probably won the corner in terms of our Maul attack and set ourselves up. We'd be expecting to score there. So there's 7 crucial moments in the final bit of the field where we'd done the hard work and we failed to execute. So that was key for us. I think playing into a strong win first half, I thought we actually played some pretty good rugby considering, hence creating those opportunities. But, you know, you can't go anywhere, especially away to Glasgow, even with the changes they had, and give up that many opportunities. I think 17 turnovers in the whole game. So, you know, very clear in terms of that piece of it. I think of the three tries we conceded, the squad were really frank in acknowledging, I think, as I was in the post-match, that the first two we conceded were far too easy. And, you know, from a transition stage of defence to not even survive beyond two phases, from 50 metres out on one, 65 metres out on the other, we have to show more resilience than that. So look, at both ends of the field, it was disappointing. And then I think second half, Glasgow defended well, and, you know, we weren't able to create as much. So lessons learned from it, hopefully. But again, the context very much over these next couple of URC games. Cardiff, as we said, always close games against them. Benetton, very hard to break down. We can't be coughing up easy scores in terms of conceding tries. And we certainly have to take our opportunities, or more of our opportunities, when they come.
Ulster have major front row headaches going into their URC trip to Benetton this weekend. Props Eric O'Sullivan and Andrew Warwick are doubts with respective knee and ankle injuries, while hooker Tom Stewart has a hamstring injury. All three require scans to assess the severity of their injuries. And finally, Racing 92 are heading home. Club president Jackie Lorenzetti has revealed that they will swap their current home at the roofed La Défense Arena for their old home at Colombes. Racing originally left their Yves de Manoir Stadium when the Défense was opened in 2017, but they frequently had to play home matches at the Créteil Stadium while Défense was used for other events. Lorenzetti says they'll renovate the Yves de Manoir into a 15,000 English-style rugby stadium, with the aim that they'll be back there for the 2026-27 season. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. I'm Richie McCormack, and I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you, with thanks to Bank of Ireland, tomorrow. Till then, thanks so much for listening.
I'll just read you a few of those wonderful quotes. This is in November 2022. Apologies to all my Welsh friends. I was busy yesterday. I just wanted to check that you were all okay. Please stay positive. I think you've got Portugal next week, so that could lead you to returning to winning ways. To which I get back, shush, or I'll tell Drico to bang the head off you again. It gets much worse and far more irrelevant. I like the look of this England team. I hope the forwards can perform. Looking forward to watch Lawrence. Hope he has a big game and gets a run. Mind yourself, you prick. Drico put you in a box once. Next one, also one of my favourites. Didn't Wales do well? Hey, Austin, you're a dickhead. No wonder Drico beat the shite out of you. My personal favourite. To the person who left a dog poo bag full of poo on the gate of my house that my daughters used to come home from school through, do it again, but the next time, pray that I'm not watching. Really? This from a fella that got bitch slapped by Drico?